Welcome to the Brand Fortress HQ podcast and another Tactics Tuesday episode. Today we're going to be talking about probably the biggest lever on Amazon that a lot of brands are just kind of afraid to pull. And so we really wanted to cover it today because there is a lot of progress to be made here and a lot of different strategies and tactics that you can use. And so today we're really talking about how to optimize your price, how to test pricing, and how to think about pricing on Amazon. So with that said, I think the first thing that I want to start to cover is price testing just as a concept. You know, Matt, I know that you have quite a bit of experience with this and definitely some thoughts about it. How do you think about price when you're launching a new product and when to adjust that price?
So for the most part, when I'm launching a new product, I mean, there's really only one thing that you have. You're up against a sea of a whole bunch of other competitors selling the same product. So when you have no reviews, you don't have any social proof. Like really the only thing, the reason that you can give people to buy your product, in my opinion, is a price that's somewhat competitive. I like to be at the higher end of the price point in pretty much every category that I sell in. But when I'm launching, I understand how important it is to be able to be competitive in terms of pricing. So I, for the most part, I'll usually get my price to right as close to break even as possible, as makes sense, knowing that I'm going to be spending a lot on advertising during that time. But I like to start pricing in as close to break even as possible, and then keep it there for the first week and a half. And then I start creeping my price up by a buck or two, depending on how far away I am from where I want my ideal pricing to be. If you go too fast, there's some fear of losing the buy box. And I've had that happen a couple of times by going up a little bit too fast. But in general, I like to be right around break even and then raise it by about a buck every week after about 2 weeks of being at that price point for the most part.
Okay. So I want to drill down on a couple of things there. So, you know, just to use numbers as an example, let's say that your category is, you know, at kind of average is $30 and you maybe want to sell at, you know, $40 or even $50. When you're talking about starting out and that price point, are you setting the product price to that level, or are you actually setting the product price where you want to be and then setting like a sale price or a prime deal price down to, you know, essentially your break even?
So I test it, obviously. Everything for me is a test. But what I have found in most cases works is having the price set at where I want it to be and then a sales price. But then in a lot of cases, what I'll do is I'll bring the sales price down to about half of where I want it to be, maybe a little bit more than half of where I want it to be, and then do a pretty big coupon too. I really like doing a coupon in the beginning and a big coupon, as big of a coupon as makes sense in the beginning, because that shows up in the search results. The strike through pricing, I know that we're going to talk about that. We talked a little bit about before we hit the record button, but you don't get that strike through button right away in the beginning. So you have to, like for me in the search results, having that coupon stand out. And I've always done a dollar and when you, a dollar amount as opposed to a percentage. And when you get into that $5 or $6 coupon range, it just looks big in my opinion. I've found that that kind of converts a little bit better in terms in the beginning, having a pretty decent sized coupon, but also having that sales price probably about half of where I want the price ending up landing in the end.
So a couple of points on that. I would say one is in terms of the strike through pricing, because the only way that you can actually get strike through pricing is if you actually get a sale at the higher price. So just to clarify what strike through pricing is, most people would know, but it essentially, when you see your listing, both in search and on the actual listing itself, if you have the strike through, essentially what that means is Amazon's going to show the price that somebody's actually going to pay, but then they're also going to show a price next to it that is has a strike through mark through it that basically is saying this is what this price actually, you know, what this product actually costs, or what we're saying it actually costs, but this is how much you're going to pay. So you're going to save, you know, X percentage off. And you want that strike through because when people see it, of course, they feel like they're getting a deal. But the problem is you can't get that strike through unless you've actually had sales at that higher price point. So essentially what you end up doing to get strike through is you have to set a high price. You get sales at that price. you set your list price on your product at that higher price point, and then you can price the product less if you want down the road, and you get that strike through. So technically, you would actually be in, to some degree, better position if you actually had your strike through price be higher than the price you actually want to sell at, because then your normal price can actually have strike through. Like, for instance, right now on our pool poll, we have strike through pricing on that, and we've actually had it for months, and it hasn't gone away. We have our retail price, our list price on that product is set at like $220, and we're selling it at $175, which is our standard retail price. But we got some sales at that $220 price point, and so now we have that strike through. Now, it's a little bit of a crapshoot how long you keep that strike through and whether Amazon even gives it to you or not, but it's a guarantee you won't get it unless you actually have sales at that price. So for me, I would say when you launch out of the gate, what I would do is if you have an audience, even a small audience, if you have an audience on an email list or an SMS list or whatever, I would list your product at above, like you want to list the product at whatever price you would like the strike through to be. And I would say you want it to be like 20% higher than the retail that you'd like to sell at. Put it at that price, send your list over there. And now you don't want to ask for reviews on this, right? But get the sales. So send them over and say, hey, we'll give you a rebate of whatever, you know, like maybe it's a 40% rebate, but they're only buying it for 20% over the retail, right? You tell them we're going to give you a 40% rebate, go buy it, give us your order ID, and we'll rebate you the money. You only need a few sales. You don't need very many. As soon as you get those sales, now you can get the strike through. So now you can put the price down to the retail price that you want it to be, and you can offer a discount and a coupon if you like for your launch, because it's only going to take you a day to get those sales. Like, just push through a few people off of your audience list, get the sales, you know, so you haven't really ruined your honeymoon. You've only taken maybe a day or something, right? Then you drop the price to retail, you set your sale price, you put on your coupon, you know, and then you just start rolling.
So let's walk folks through this a little bit, because I think it can get really confusing, because there's kind of three prices in Amazon. There's the list price, which is kind of, you know, if you go, you know, kind of the overall store price. What's that?
It's like suggested retail.
Yeah, your suggested retail price. And then there's the, you know, quote unquote, your price, which is on Amazon, kind of the, the Amazon general price. And then you can also run a sale through your listing, which is considered the sale price. Now, what we're saying with the strategy, and let's just put some numbers behind it to make it a little bit easier, I think, for folks to understand and kind of what you put forward there, Mike, because I think it is a really good strategy. So let's say we're launching a product, and just to make the math easy, let's say that our list price is $120, our your price is $110, and then we would need to sell at least one product at that $110 price. And then set up a, you know, let's say we set our sale price at $100 in order to get that strike through pricing. Is that accurate?
So essentially what I would do, so if we're keeping with trying to do easy numbers, let's say I want to sell my product at $100. Like, that's what I want the retail, the actual your price, like what people are actually going to pay if I don't give them a discount. I want to sell at $100. Then you would basically be setting your list price and actually the starting price that you're actually selling at. So like when you create the listing on Amazon, you would say, okay, I want to sell at 100. I would probably set it at like $130. And I would set my list price and my offer price to $130 to start. Okay. And then I would then send a message to a very small portion of my list, right? I only need, and I would try not to do like one sale. I would maybe try to get like three or four sales just to make sure you got a little bit of data there, right? But I would send to enough people that I can get those four sales, and they're going to confirm it with you because they want their refund or their rebate, right? So you're going to know whether you got the sales or not. You're going to get the ID, the Amazon ID. So you send them in, you only send a small portion of your list, get those sales at $130. As soon as you've got those sales, now you go back in, you edit the listing, and you leave the list price at 130, but now you put the offer price at 100. Then you go in, if you want, and create a sale price for, say, $80, you know, or whatever. And then you can set a coupon for $5 or something, right? So now your retail is 100. You've already gotten some sales at 130. Your sale price is, say, you know, $90. And with the coupon, it's 85. And that's your launch. Like, you run that. You're running, you know, and you could have it be whatever you want. If you want to give more, you know, like Matt was saying, give a really significant discount, you can. I would argue that if you have a large enough audience, you know, that you can market to, you don't have to offer a significant discount at launch, mm-hmm. because you can basically just send your list to the listing, tell them, hey, the retail price is $100 right now. If you get into Amazon, you know, you can get it for $85, you know, and here's an extra, you know, maybe you give them some, you know, but you don't have to give a massive discount. If you already have a list of people who actually want your products and love your brand, a 15% discount, we found that to be sufficient, you know, for a launch to get ranking for what we want. And so if you get those few sales at above list, then you drop it to list, you set your sale price, put a coupon on it, man, you're golden. And then you get your strike through.
Okay. What are your guys' take then on, because I know one of the strategies out there is to kind of, you know, swap every 30 days between a coupon and then lowering your price for, in order to gain strike through pricing.
I don't know if you got anything to say on that, Matt. To be honest, we haven't really been playing around with strike through pricing much until just recently. So this is what has worked for us, and it's been pretty effective for us to maintain. So we haven't really had to do much else to maintain it. Like, we pretty much, it's just been there. I will say this much, and this is another value point for having strike through pricing, is that whatever that strike through price is, if you want to run a lightning deal, you only have to give, like, the discount that you offer only has to be a certain percentage off of whatever that strike through price is. So essentially right now, our strike through is a $220 for our poll, and we're selling at $174. A very slight discount off of that $174 gets us low enough that we can run a lightning deal. So we don't actually have to offer a very significant discount at all to get that lightning deal offer option, because we have strike through. If you don't have strike through, then it has to be a discount off of your other price. And so then you have to really discount it more heavily, but pretty well.
That's interesting. I did not know that. I learned that from
you. So what you're saying, just to kind of pull that apart, is so you guys have strike through, your original price is like $220.
Our strike through is $220.
And then your actual sale price right now is $175.
Our offer price, like, there's no sale on it right now. Our offer price is $175, but Amazon, you know, like when you go into your lightning deals and it tells you what products you could run and, you know, whatever, and it tells you what price you've got to sell it at, we can basically do, like, I don't know, it's like $170, and we get lightning deal, you know, status.
Now, have you run a lightning deal on that to see how it does?
Yeah, it does pretty well. I mean, it still runs through, because essentially, again, you know, you're getting a lot of new to brand people who don't really know what price your product actually normally is. And so it's actually telling them so when you run the lightning deal, it's telling them what the discount is off of the list price. It doesn't tell them what the discount is off of your normal price. It tells them what the discount is off of list price. So they don't even see that we've been selling it at $175. They only see that it's normally $220, you know, list price is $220, you're paying $170.
Interesting. And then do you know if that applies to Prime Deal as well?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't know.
And then for folks that are listening, so Prime Deal I'm a little bit more familiar with, and I think it kind of depends on the season as to what the max discount is. I think it's normally 10%. And then during like Q4, I think it's the requirement is like 20% off the your price. So the price that you've actually sold a product is the requirement there for Prime Deals. Now, the nice thing about Prime Deals, and kind of the same thing there, where you actually have to sell a product before you can run these. So just, you know, be aware of that. Like, it's great as part of a launch. But until you, you know, you can't have it as your only launch strategy, because if you don't sell any units, you can't, it won't allow you to use this. You right. actually have to sell some units before you can use Prime Deals. But the nice thing about Prime Deals is that you get a badge from it. And I'm pretty sure that you get significantly more visibility, because Amazon obviously yeah. wants to push these sorts of deals to entice customers in order to purchase. And so right. you see a pretty good uptick in sales and traffic, or at least traffic from this. So, and when you're launching a product, one of your biggest battles is visibility. So it right. does really help with that piece of it. Now for Prime Deals, you don't actually, they're free to run, at least as of right now when we're recording this. So that is the one nice thing is that you're outside of the discount that you're giving for them, you're not paying anything extra outside your discount in order to run that Prime deal, and you get a lot more visibility. So how does that compare with a Lightning deal? Because I think you do have to pay in order to run a Lightning deal.
Yeah, you do. There's a cost to running a Lightning deal beyond the discount. I honestly can't remember what that cost is, to be honest, because I don't actually run the Lightning deals. I've got somebody on our team that runs them, so I don't remember what the cost is. It's not that terribly high, you know, and especially if you're not running a massive discount, you know, to get the Lightning deal, then it's kind of irrelevant. You know, so for us, it works out pretty well. If you're having to offer a pretty significant discount to get that Lightning deal, then that can be problematic. I would also say, bear in mind, like I've said, that we've been able to maintain that strike through. I'm actually a little bit surprised that we've been able to maintain it. But if you lose it, again, you just have to get sales at that price, right? So, and Amazon can be a little bit finicky. I don't want to tell you that it's a guarantee that you get the strike through, because we have had times when we did get sales at the, you know, the higher price and we didn't get strike through. So you don't always know for sure, but I can tell you with absolute certainty, you won't get strike through unless you've had some sales at that price. The question then is, how long do you maintain it? But the point is, even if you lose it, if you just then put the price back up to the list price, you will get a few sales. Like, I mean, if you've already got volume running through your listing, right? Raise the price back up, you will get a few sales. It's only going to take you a day if you've got any sort of decent traffic running through. You're not going to lose that much positioning or things like that, you know, raising your price for a day, but you get those sales, then put the price back down and just wait for strike through to happen again. And then again, now that you've had those sales, now that you have the strike through, then you can run through that same process all over again with the Lightning deals and coupons and anything that you want.
So when you're resetting that, just out of curiosity, you're not running a sale price on your listing. You're just running what Amazon calls the your price, correct?
Right. When we're trying to reset that and regain the strike through, we just simply raise your price, the offer price, back up to the list price. So in other words, in this example, we, instead of selling at 175, we pop it back up to 220. So now the list price and the offer price are the same at 220. We let it run. We don't have a sale or anything because we got to sell it at 220. We leave that on. We make a few sales that day, you know, and then we turn it off. We put it back to 175. And then if we want to run a sale or a Lightning deal or something, then we can.
Okay. So you don't normally have a sale price on that product?
Not normally. We don't actually run a sale, you know, all that frequently. We try not to. Like, we need the margin, you know, like, I mean, it's important that we maintain our margins. So we don't really run sales a lot. But when we do, like, we can basically run it as a Lightning deal because we don't have to, you know, we don't really have to reduce the price that much, you know, in order to get that, you know, a significant strike through, you know, discount.
Okay. And then do you guys, either of you have know or have any hunches as to how coupons affect that? So again, let's go back to our example and say, you know, you sell a product at that, you know, your $220 product, and rather than, you know, having, dropping that price down to $175. If you offer, say you offered, didn't do a little bit of public math here, you know, a $35 off coupon, sold units at that, and then dropped it down to $175, would you get that strike through pricing?
I don't think so.
Okay. So the coupon does impact whether you get strike through pricing or
yeah,
not.
Yeah. I don't know that you would. I would say this, one of the things that we have done in the past and we do run through on occasion, probably should do a more actually. But because we don't really like to discount too much on a regular basis, we don't, but, is that you can get an entire stack, you know, so essentially, you know, using the method that I just said, you know, you can get that strike through, then you could run, you know, a discount, you know, like a sale price, right? So you've got the strike through, you've got a sale price, you could add a small coupon, and then you can also do an additional promotion, you know, like maybe it's a buy two products, you know, get a certain percentage, right? It may be that a lot of people don't take advantage of that, but it gives you this massive stack, you know, where number one, you kind of take up space, but also all of these discounts are showing up there, right? Like, so it increases your click-through rate and your conversion rate just because you've got this stack of discounts. You know, I've got strike through, I've got a, you know, I've got a sale, I've got, you know, a coupon, and I've got this additional promotion down there. So you can have that whole stack all at once.
Yeah. And when you say that, I mean, with that stack, does that stack show in the search results and on the listing?
I don't believe that all of it shows in the search results, but a significant portion of it does. Essentially, I believe it would be your strike through, your sale price, and your coupon would show up in the search results. I don't think that the extra promotion that you run would show up there. That would be just on your main page. But the other three will show up in search results.
Okay. Yeah. And I think that's mostly what I've observed as well is that, you know, those three will show up, but any sort of like I shouldn't use the word coupon, any other promotion that you run on it, like a buy two, get 10% off or something like that. It'll show up on the listing, but it doesn't show up in the search results.
Correct. Yep.
Something else that I just want to touch on real quick that's related to this, as we're talking about, you know, different ways to kind of adjust your pricing, is with coupons for people that are listening out there that may not be aware of this, is that when you run a coupon on Amazon, usually only about 30 to 40% of those coupons ever get redeemed.
Yeah.
So what that allows you to do is, you know, say that you would normally offer, you know, $3 off. Well, now you can essentially offer a $9 off coupon because only a third of those people are actually going to redeem it. It's the same, you know, cost to you, if you will, when you look at it from a margin perspective. But kind of going back to what you were saying, Matt, which is when it comes to coupons, first of all, having a dollar off, or, you know, a dollar amount as opposed to a percentage, we've seen the same thing where we see better click-through rate, better conversion rate on actually having a dollar off. And I think a lot of that's because otherwise the math gets complicated. Because if I put 25% off on there and I've got a $35 product, I mean, I have to pause and do some math in my head in order to figure it out. And I can guarantee you, as customers consider, you know, the 30 to 40 products that are on the page plus the ads, they're not going to do the math. Whereas, you know, if it just says $5 off, well, now it's really easy to figure out. $35 product, $5 off is $30.
And honestly, I would say it's unfortunate, but there are a large percentage of individuals that are looking through those search results that it would not matter how much time you gave them, they would not be able to calculate what that percentage discount actually means to them. So, I mean, it's a sad state, you know, I mean, I hate to say that that's true, but it is true. And so I would never, ever, ever, ever use a percentage discount.
Yeah. So I think those two things, I just want to make sure that listeners are aware of, because I think it's so powerful when you're thinking about it. You're like, hey, I don't have a lot of room in my margins, but I want to see what I can do in order to increase my click-through rate and my conversion rate.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you're offering a coupon for a couple of dollars off, it really is costing you very little on your margins. And if you can see your click-through rates and conversion rates go up from that, it can be a way to actually profitably boost your sales on Amazon. And it seems kind of counterintuitive because, yes, you're offering a coupon, but it's because of how many are actually redeemed and the additional visibility that it gets you and kind of catches people's eye, that you can actually come out ahead on coupons if you use them strategically because of how many get redeemed and kind of how they work.
And also, just like with advertising, I mean, you have to take more of a long game approach, or at least viewing it as the long game. When you're advertising, your goal is increasing your organic rank. And it's the same thing with a coupon or a sales price. You're going to increase your sales velocity. You're going to increase your conversion rate, which those are going to prop up your organic rank. So if you do it for a short amount of time, or think in your head, this is, you know, for a week or two to increase my organic rank, the result of that is going to be free sales, which, you know, that's going to bring you down to your tacos overall anyway. So like that's, every coupon or every sale price that I run, it's the goal is to increase sales velocity so that I increase my organic rank. So it's not a forever thing. You know, it's I want to increase my organic rank. So this is the step that I'm going to take to get there. So always the longer approach when you're looking at stuff like that.
And I would also say, you know, just to add to that is that, as much truth as there is in that statement, don't ignore the fact that it's a test, right? Everything's a test because, you know, every product is going to be different in terms of what the actual response is, the algorithmic response, let's say, to anything that you do, you know, whether it's a sale, whether it's a coupon, whether it's a change in your listing, whatever it is, you know, every product and every category is different in terms of just what that response is going to be and how your search rank is going to change. So, you know, I think we have to be careful not to make a blanket, you know, assessment that says, you know, or implies if you run a coupon, because it's likely to increase your CTR and CBR, it is going to increase your search rank, right? It likely will. It depends on, you know, the listings that are ahead of you and how much stronger those listings are in other categories, right? Because there's more to the algorithm than just price and sales velocity. So, you know, if the products that are ahead of you have way more sales velocity than you have for whatever reason, you know, then even if you get more sales velocity from that coupon, don't assume that it's going to give you better ranking. You have to test that. So if you're going to run a coupon, make sure you know what your current ranking is, you know, and then run the coupon and see if it actually changes your ranking. Know what your sales velocity is, you know, and see how much does the sales velocity actually change with the coupon. And do you maintain that velocity after the coupon? Like how much of that do you maintain? Is your velocity higher, you know, going forward after the coupon ends than it was before the coupon? Because if it's not, then what you established is one of two things. Either for some reason, a coupon in your category isn't going to accomplish that, or two, you need a bigger coupon, right? You know, I mean, that's what you've established, but you haven't established anything if you don't know that data before you actually run the coupon. I also wanted to touch back on one other thing that we were discussing earlier before we move on.
Actually, Mike, before I'm going to sidetrack you just a little bit before we go on, because I do want to address one thing, which is if you're measuring that, what I would encourage people to do is rather than measuring based on sales velocity, is we actually measure BSR.
Yeah.
And I think that's an important point because sales velocity, you know, you might run a coupon and your sales velocity might go from 100 units a day to 200 units a day. And you're like, wow, this coupon is the best thing ever.
Right.
And it just happens that you were in a lucky week where, you know, people were interested in buying your product that week along with everybody else in that category and kind of, you know, everything went up all at the same time. And you just happen to have, you know, really good luck. Or the reverse could happen too, where you're like, oh my gosh, this, you know, we only made 50 sales this week. This coupon is terrible. But when you look at the BSR rank, it's really going to tell you that story of how did you do in comparison to your category?
Right.
So that way you could know how effective this, you know, coupon or any other sort of price testing is if you're looking at the BSR, because now you're comparing apples to apples instead of just your sales velocity.
It's a good point because it at least eliminates one variable, right? It eliminates that variable that says, okay, did the market for this, you know, particular product niche increase or decrease as a whole during that week, you know, or whatever that affected things. So, you know, it still doesn't fully answer the question because technically there are other variables that come into play. Maybe Amazon highlighted you someplace where you weren't highlighted before. Maybe you got a badge that you didn't have before and you didn't notice it. I mean, there's all sorts of other variables that could come into play that could change that. So I would argue whatever result you see with that coupon, I would run it again the next month and see if the results are the same as they were the previous month, because then you probably eliminate whatever other confounding variables there might have been in that. But going back to what I was going to say in terms of product launch and pricing, one of the reasons that I suggest that you run a launch in the way that I was describing with getting that list price sale, you know, that higher $220 price sales, then putting your offer price, your normal, you know, price that you want and running sales and discounts off of that is because of exactly what Matt said earlier, which is Amazon is very price sensitive. they don't like it when you raise your prices. And it's not uncommon for them to put the kibosh on you and actually, you know, you lose the buy box on your own product. You know, like it's your product. There's nobody else selling on your listing and you lose the buy box. Like, I mean, it's insane, but they do it, right? Like if you raise your price too quickly, you lose the buy box. That will never, ever happen to you if you have strike through pricing at that list price. That won't happen. They will not do that. You can raise the price as far as you want, at least up into that list price as fast as you want. They will never bother you at all. Mm-hmm. Now, technically, you don't have to worry about it because generally speaking, you don't want to sell at that price anyways. You want to sell at 175, right? But the point is you don't have to worry about, okay, I started my price on my launch at 50 bucks, even though I actually want to sell at 75, but I haven't gotten any sales at 75 yet. So now I got to inch my way up to that $75 price tag after the launch. So all that time, you know, between my launch and when I finally get to the price I actually want to sell at, I'm technically losing money, you know, that I could be making more because I could have that higher price point. If you start your launch with that high list price, then you don't have to worry about that. You can raise the price fast as you want.
I honestly did not know that. So that's really good to know because I have seen it.
It is.
It doesn't happen very often, but I have seen it where even things, I've seen it with more with FBM than with FBA, but I have seen FBA products lose the buy box for various reasons. One of them being price, you know, especially for FBM products, if you're not fulfilling on time or there's other issues, it's, you can lose the buy box. It is a huge pain.
It is.
I can tell you that.
I mean, we're running into an issue right now, in fact, and this is another, and I mean, on the pricing topic, like, I mean, this is, if you're selling off Amazon anywhere, you had better make sure that you have control over those prices always on those other platforms. And I'll give you a perfect example of where the problem can come in because we're dealing with it right now. So we took a foray into selling on Target. But we couldn't get on there on our own because basically to get Target Plus, which is the program that they have for third-party sellers, it, at least at the time anyways, it was invite only. And we hadn't gotten an invite. So we went through Project Retail, and they were great. They have an arrangement so they can actually bring in a brand and they have Target Plus access. So essentially they will sell your brand for you on the platform, which they did. For various reasons, it didn't work out for us. We weren't really getting the sales that we needed, and there was some expenses that were into it because of low volume and whatnot. So we decided to end the program because we were paying a management fee to Project Retail, and it wasn't worth the management fee, right? So we terminated it. So the problem is we decided to raise our prices on Amazon for a number of those products. Well, Target has not removed those products from their catalog, and they still have the price that we were previously selling at. And Project Retail now doesn't have access to change those prices because they've removed that those products from their third-party catalog. So now we have no way to change the prices on those products. So if we want to raise the price on Amazon, they're now, we're losing the buy box on Amazon because Target has a better price. Even though the product isn't actually available on Target, nobody can buy it, and we can't change it. So if you are selling on any other platform outside of Amazon, don't ever lose the right to change the prices on those products or make sure that they have been entirely removed from that catalog before you exit from the catalog, because otherwise you're going to be screwed.
Yeah, and I think that ties in really well with discussion that we had a couple of weeks ago about getting into retail and making sure that you have, you know, map pricing, which is, I'm trying to remember exactly what it stands for, but it's like
minimum advertised price.
Yeah. So basically what it is built in the contract and it says, you know, if you sell the product to, you know, any major retailer, this is the minimum that they can sell it for. And you do want to really pay attention to that for exactly the reason that you pointed out there, Mike, is that, you know, if that retailer then puts that online, you know, your product that normally sells for $175 and they put it online for $150,
yep,
it's possible that you could lose your Amazon buy box because of that.
And realistically, I mean, probably everybody listening to this knows this, but in case you don't, like, I mean, if you've never experienced it before, even if there's nobody else on your listing, And even though technically, if you don't have the buy box, people can still buy the product, you will lose massive sales volume if you don't have the buy box, even though they can still buy.
It's a conversion killer.
Because most people don't understand.
Yeah.
They don't understand how to actually order the product if the buy button isn't there.
You can't use sponsored product ads if you don't have the buy box.
Yeah.
It takes, I mean, unless you really know what you're doing, you're not going to buy that product. That's just what it boils down to.
Right. And most people on Amazon don't. They just click buy. Mm-hmm. Like they don't know.
Correct. And Amazon will show them, you know, essentially your competitor right next to it. And say, hey, this guy's got the buy box. Buy his product instead. So, I mean, it really is a double whammy.
It's a nightmare scenario, honestly.
So how are you going to fix that, Mike? What is your way to fix the target issue then?
To be honest, I don't have a solution. What I'm going to do, I had a guy. So the agency that's helping us get into retail, like actually brick and mortar retail, he had a contact at Target. So we thought we might be able to get some juice that way. But so far that's proving not to be a solution. So I'm going to go back to Project Retail, even if I have to pay them to bring us back on as a client briefly so that they put that back into their catalog and change the price and then we terminate it. Like, I mean, it's the only solution that I can think of is to sign back up for their program and have them add it back to their catalog so they can change the price. I don't know any other solution.
Yeah, that stinks.
All right. Well, I think we've had a great discussion about pricing. There's obviously a lot more to talk about. One thing that I kind of want to listeners to, we'll save for another round, but listeners to be aware of is that, you know, we talked a lot about different, you know, discounting methods and that type of stuff, but part of optimizing your price is also raising your price. And so I've definitely seen situations where you can raise your price and you can actually see your BSR and your sales volume go up. So depending on how many reviews you have, what your competition looks like, what time of year it is, there is definitely movement in both directions and you don't really know until you test. So I would say that would be my biggest takeaway for listeners here is that you need to test price on your products in both directions in order to really know what your product should be priced at to get the best momentum. The best of both worlds when it comes to both velocity and profit on Amazon.
Yeah.
So that'd be my tip for listeners. Mike and Matt, any tips that you want to share with listeners as we wrap up this episode?
You actually took mine because I mean, for me, what I would rather do is I would rather increase the value so that I can increase my price as opposed to dropping it. I mean, you see in a lot of categories, these Chinese manufacturers are playing the opposite game and racing to the bottom. Like what, you know, one, the things that we talk about are really increasing the value, or even if it's just perceived value of your product so that you can increase the price. I'd much rather play that game than play the opposite.
Yeah, for sure. Because you're not going to beat them at that game, right? Mm-mm. You're never going to beat a Chinese seller at that game because their margins are so razor thin and they're totally okay with that. Like they've got systems built so that's fine. Like they don't have a problem with that. You're never going to be able to beat them at that game. So why on earth would you try? Play a different game. You know, play the game that they're not going to play. The vast majority of Chinese sellers are never going to play that game of premium pricing. They're always going to play the discounting game. So play a different game. I would also say, before we wrap up, just real quick, on the topic of raising prices, there's something to be said for this kind of minute price increase testing. You know, like a dollar or two or something like that. There's also something to be said for testing of a significant price increase, you know, where maybe it's a 50% increase or 100% increase, because there's a psychological change that happens, you know, like within a category. If you've got a category where everybody is selling at $15 to $20 and there's a product that's selling at, you know, $30, you know, or $40, there is something about it that makes a person think, what's different? You know, like there must be some reason that this product is selling at $40. There must be some reason it's more premium, right? And to a buyer who values a premium priced product, like they already have a mindset that says, I always buy the most expensive product because generally speaking, I get better service, I get a better product, I get a better warranty, I get whatever. Sometimes I get screwed, but more times than not, I benefit from buying the most expensive product. There is a customer out there that has that mindset. And I will tell you, if you sell to that customer, then it means every product that you sell, you can sell at that premium price point as long as you're giving them good service and a good product. So from Matt's, you know, what Matt was saying, offer something that actually gives them more value. Like, perceived value is important, but make sure that when they receive the product, they feel like they're actually getting the value that they perceived on the front end, right? Otherwise, you're screwed.
Yeah.
But if you can increase that perceived value significantly in some way, I would argue you might want to test a 50% or 100% price increase and see if you can sell to that different customer mindset, you know, and have a significantly better margin. Now, volume may change significantly, so you got to weigh those numbers. You know, volume matters, but pay attention to that option. You know, there may be a reason to test not just a dollar increase, but maybe a $10 increase.
Yeah, and I think that's a fantastic point to make, because we have a client right now that, you know, they charge 10 times what their highest price competitor does.
Wow.
And I mean, they have a very good product. Don't get me wrong. It is very, very good, but it is towards a very niche, you know, specific audience. It is not for, you know, every consumer, but they charge 10X, and it's a totally different business model.
Yeah.
I mean, they can pay.
Most of our products are 5X, you know, I mean, we're not at 10X, you know, but even 5X, I mean, that's pretty significant, you know, 4 or 5X. And it is, it's a very different model, you know, of selling, but it's an effective one, you know, depending on, you know, mm-hmm. if you do it right.
Yeah. 100%. And I would say that they bring that value to that niche that they talk to. So that's the other piece of it is that's, you know, they didn't just 10X their product as just because they could. Well, they did it partially because they could, and then partially because they do actually have a really good product because they really understand their market.
Well, and you can argue that, right? Like, I mean, it's like I mentioned the other day, you know, Hormozy came up on my feed, you know, and he had that video that was basically saying, you know, like, niche down to the exact right customer who will be willing to pay 10X the price, because for that customer, the product that you are selling and whatever services you're bundling with it and whatever add-ons you're putting in there, you can argue ROI to that customer and they understand it as an investment. So like, you know, if you're selling at 10X, if that specific customer needs the exact feature set that you're offering, and to them, it actually has 10X the value, like it's realistic, you know, because of whatever they're doing, then that price makes sense. And everybody who fits that mold, it will make sense to. And it's easier to argue that to them. Like, they look at it as an investment. Like, no, all day long, I'm going to pay that price. So.
Fantastic points. And great discussion today. I already know that we're going to have some more episodes talking about, you know, Matt, I really want to dig into exactly what you're talking about as far as how do we add more value? Because I think you're 100% right. That's something that, you know, a lot of the overseas sellers aren't doing. And it's a way that you can really differentiate yourself while at the same time, you know, maintaining or even growing your profit margins, which is something that is becoming even more important as Amazon as a platform matures and you look at fortifying your brand. And then digging into the other components of pricing, you know, there's a lot that we didn't touch on today. So I know that we're going to have some follow-up episodes on this, but we're going to stop here for today. And I think it just gives our listeners, you know, what I would encourage them to do is start price testing, whether that's, you know, through some of the other, you know, discounts or coupons or some of the other things that we talked about, or raising your prices, you know, start testing out there, because I think you're going to be surprised by the results you get from it. So thank you everybody for listening, and we look forward to seeing you in the next episode.
Thanks for tuning into the Brand Fortress HQ podcast. If you haven't already, hit the subscribe button and be the first to get new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday, where we'll continue to bring you the most actionable insights and strategies for fortifying your brand on Amazon and beyond. If you haven't already, please leave a rating and review. It helps the show grow, which means we can keep bringing you the best of the best each and every week. Finally, get access to our free after-purchase funnel blueprint using the link in the show notes. This full course will transform your Amazon game by showing you how to build and properly utilize a powerful customer list.